Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. As promised, Jason Ebert with us this hour, and your questions welcome. 888-318-7884. You probably heard about this, but there was a sexual revolution, and it took a little while for the church to get her response in order to that revolution. But John Paul the Great, of course, made a great contribution to that in his Wednesday audiences and other writings and presentations that presented us with what it's now called the theology of the body. But there are people who have made a special contribution in spreading that message, in helping the church make the response to the sexual revolution, which has proponents and advertisers and propagandists on every bit of media. So there had to be really talented, devoted, and loving people to present the truth about human sexuality as the church understands it. And Jason Ebert has been one of the champions in that area. You can visit chastity.com to find out all about what Jason does. And you can just call him right here and talk to him, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Jason Ebert, thank you very much for being here with us.
Yeah, it's good to be back on. Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to the day where you're out of business, where we don't need anybody out there proclaiming the truth about human sexuality and a truly human sexuality, because derived from the love that we've received in Jesus Christ. But you're not out of business. I imagine you're busy constantly.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's pretty good job security in terms of trying to talk to about God's plan for human sexuality, chastity, gender, all of that. Unfortunately, good job security right now.
I'll tell you about a story I read in on CNN. It says that and this is their wording, the anti-sex forces are out challenging, a positive view of sex. And their example of that is that there's some protests or, some people writing negative articles about these movies that come out that are verging on pornographic. And so What do you make of this idea that people talk, they use the word sex positivity? And it seems to be related to really the most adolescent behavior on film.
Yeah, what's kind of funny is the people who clamor the most about how natural sex is. Sex is natural, not a big deal. Those are actually the people least likely to actually have natural sex. Those are the people that when you say, okay, no contraception, no screens, one man, one woman, one wedding ring, second that, it's like, whoa, wait, no, we're not talking about that. It's like, so, okay, how natural is it if you're so afraid of natural sexuality? But what this really is at the core, I'm in the middle of rereading St. John Paul's classic Love and Responsibility right now. And it was just yesterday going through the chapter where he talks about resentment of chastity. And he said sloth, is defined by Thomas Aquinas, is the sadness arising from the realization that what is good is also difficult. But at least with sloth, it recognizes there's a good and attaining to that good is difficult, and I feel sad about having to exercise that effort. He said resentment of chastity takes it a step further, because instead of realizing the good, it realizes, okay, that's difficult to attain, so what I'll do is tear down the good, basically saying that's neurotic and unhealthy and unrealistic, so I can kind of lightheartedly pass it by, preferring what's more comfortable and convenient to myself. And so it's an outright resentment of the message of chastity, not simply an attitude of sloth towards it. And so that's what all these attacks are. It's realizing, okay, that is good, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to tear it down so I look like I'm not turning down the challenge of what authentic love should look like.
Isn't that the truth? 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Jason Ebert, our guest. If this is an area in which you struggle and you'd like some help, you are welcome to call. If you're a parent who'd like to know, how do I talk to the kids about this? When do I talk to the kids about this? You are welcome to call. And anybody else with a question on the Christian teaching regarding chastity, regarding the proper use of the wonderful faculties God has given us, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. For a liberation movement, however, the sexual revolution produced an awful paucity of of actual liberation. Like, if you concluded, say, I don't know, 50 years of a movement, and it had utterly destroyed families, enslaved people to pornography, made men and women miserable, would you still call that a liberation movement? But it is. There seems to be no shame about that.
No, it's an enslavement movement, if anything. And if our listeners want to look up something real interesting on this, there's a research paper called Sexual Hookup Culture, a Review. And what this was is kind of a meta-analysis done by some universities, one of which Indiana University with the Kinsey Institute. They wanted to see what the prevailing attitudes were on college campuses regarding these hookup cultures that was going on with all the promiscuity. So they surveyed all these college students and ask them questions like, what would you rather have, a hookup or a traditional romantic relationship? And what they found is that college students, far, male as well as female, wanted to have a traditional romantic relationship over a hookup, but they were twice as likely to hook up as to even go on a first date. It's almost as if they ached for something they didn't know how to attain. And they asked the students, well, after a hookup, how do you feel? And 2% of them felt wanted. 5% felt proud. It just fell flat on its face. And so they were researching, okay, where did all this hookup stuff come from? And the answer they gave to me was really fascinating. They said, look, from an evolutionary biology perspective, they said, within mammals and all creatures, whichever sex has the longer reproductive rate tends to be more choosy with who their mate is. And so they said within human species, the female has the longer reproductive rate. For the male, it could take all of 5 minutes. For the woman, we're talking fertilization, gestation, lactation, could be years of her life invested because of one poor reproductive choice. She stands to lose a lot more. Therefore, women to be more choosy tend to be because of the investment that they're making. But they said what contraception did is it gave to women the reproductive rates of men. And as a result, women became as low in their choosiness as the guys were. And it bred this sexual hookup culture. And it was fascinating coming from secular researchers saying the fuel of the entire sexual revolution, the sexual hookup culture, was made possible only by contraception. And the fruits have been, to say the least, underwhelming.
Wow. 888-318-7884, the number. I think there are many people who would, you might even call allies in the effort to share this message of liberation in chastity, liberation that comes from faithfulness, but who would not be willing to go with you on the contraception thing. I'm glad to hear you make the connection, because I think many people would resist making the connection because that's just one step farther than they'd be comfortable going.
Yeah. And they'll say, well, no, you need that, or otherwise you're going to end up with all these unwed pregnancies and abortions and things like that. But no, once we set our wills against human life, it's almost as if we're treating pregnancy as a disease. And if we're treating pregnancy like a disease, then, well, abortion must be the cure. And so you look at the abortion rates, the unwed pregnancy rates, these have not gone down as a result of the wider distribution of contraception. In fact, Planned Parenthood themselves, their own research institute, the Guttmacher Institute, actually said that the majority of unplanned pregnancies are caused by contraceptive failure, not by the failure to use contraception. Now, this is a staggering statement. If you think this is coming from Planned Parenthood, they're saying that most unplanned pregnancies are caused by contraceptive failure, not by the failure to use contraception, which means, okay, if that's reality and you're giving out more contraception, what are you going to get? More unplanned pregnancies, more abortion, more business.
888-318-7884. Jason Everett is our guest. We're talking chastity. If you have, if you'd like to debate the issue, you're certainly welcome to. If you'd like help with the issue or teaching the issue, whatever, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
One time somebody said to me, "Why don't you air these people?" And I said, "No, because I don't think they're Catholic." He says, "By what right do you have to say that?" I said, "I own the network."
Mother Angelica Live Classics, tomorrow night, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Television and Radio.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Jason Everett, our guest. Chastity, our topic. You are welcome to call. And as always, you don't have to be Catholic to call. We love these conversations and we'd be happy to have you in on them. 888-318-7884. Maybe you're a parent with some teens that you would like to help. How do I teach this? How do I share this with my teens? How do I make sure that it's being received by the teen? You're very welcome to call. Maybe you yourself struggling with issues like breaking free from pornography and that kind of thing. Maybe you have online safety questions, gender questions, whatever it is. Jason's happy to take your calls. 888-318-7884. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. Jason, is this, I mean, you probably didn't, you weren't born thinking, man, I can't wait to grow up and I'm going to be a chastity educator.
But, oh yeah, high school dream.
Yeah, but it really has been a blessing for you, hasn't it? Because you've gotten to be, this is an important area that is often filled with shame for people, and you've brought a message of liberation to them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm spoiled beyond belief to be able to do this for a living and take care of our family. And then just the joy of getting to see the fruit afterwards of people, you know, calling me 10 years later, emailing, "Hey, you remember you came to my town when I was, you know, 15 years old, and this is what happened that night. And now I met her and we've got four kids." And it's just overwhelming getting to meet the religious sisters, the priests. I came to a high school recently and the principal said, "Hey, you know, I was at this high school when you came and gave a chastity talk, and now I'm the principal of the high school." And so it's neat to get to kind of see it come full circle and to be in touch with some of these teens, literally 10, 15, 20 years after the assembly, to see them still, thanks be to God, persevering.
But boy, when you tell a story like that, you really, it really comes across how old you are. You're very,
yeah,
very old.
Yeah, can't even imagine.
If the principal was there when you were when you came and he was,
oh,
a
yeah,
student,
I got to go to confession to a priest who heard me as a high school kid recently. So,
oh,
thankfully,
did
the
you?
Penance wasn't too hard. He enjoyed the talk when he was a high school kid. So it wasn't
oh,
too rough.
That's not
it.
Fair. He yeah. liked you, so he gave yeah. you an easy penance. Come on. Again, the number is 888-31-TRUTH. We have a few lines open. I'm not exactly sure what's happening on line one. Can I go to line one or not? I can't go there yet. Okay, so we'll work on the phones. We'll be there in a quick second. Jason Everett, our guest. We're talking chastity. It really is the case that you wouldn't be doing what you're doing, I bet, without Pope John Paul II. It seems like it all kind of naturally flows from his ministry.
Yeah. No, I don't know where not only what I'd be doing, but who I'd be if it weren't for the influence of him in my life. I was really spoiled. I got to see him 24 times in life in person. And just the radiance of his charisma, his interior life was so magnetic. I mean, he would just drive by you on the Pope Mobile and it's like, okay, I need to pray more. I need to take my interior life more seriously just after having seen that man. And so the witness of his personal holiness, the gift of his writing, I mean, his book, Love and Responsibility, is really the foundation stone of our entire ministry intellectually, of where he talks about the word chastity needs to be rehabilitated. And you can't even think about chastity unless you're associating with the virtue of love. And so really freeing up that word from a lot of the negative baggage that's been associated with it, is frigid, neurotic, prudish attitude. What we need to understand is that chastity is that virtue that frees you to love, and it's the virtue that frees you to know if you're being loved. Because if I can't say no to sex, then saying yes to those impulses really doesn't mean anything. But then it also frees you to know if you're being loved. A perfect example of that, I was speaking at a public high school and a girl came up after dating this controlling, possessive, abusive older guy, treats her like garbage. And I said, "Sweetheart, you deserve a lot better than him. Break up." And she said, "I just can't break up with him. I've given him everything, my virginity, my reputation, my friends. I can't let go of it all." And I said, "Look, I know it's tough, but just tell him no more sex. Watch what happens." She said, "Okay, I can do that." Took off her necklace and gave it to me. She said, "He makes me wear this. He's really possessive and controlling. And I said, okay, I'll throw it away for you. And she left. And 5 minutes later, she came back happy as can be. And she said, I dumped him. And I said, well, that was fast. And she said, yeah, I told him no more sex. And he slammed his locker shut. He threw a book at me. He said, where's your necklace? She said, I gave it to the chastity guy. And so you see, she just tested his love. Like, do you love me? Do you want me? Or do you just love the pleasure you're getting from me? And so chastity is that virtue that frees a relationship to see if it's authentic love or just use.
Again, 888-31-TRUTH. We'll start in Kansas. Brian is in Kansas listening on 101.7 FM. Brian, thank you very much for the call. Go ahead with your question for Jason Everett.
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I have a question about natural family planning and how it is different than contraception, at least from the way that I understand that it's kind of regularly practiced. I think there's some rules about who can use it and when. Is that not correct, or can anybody just use it for whatever reason?
Okay, very good question. Well, Brian, first off, I'd say fertility awareness methods, I think, are good for every woman to be using all the time. And what I mean by that is, we just had a podcast recently with a bunch of college girls who've started up fertility awareness clubs on their college campuses. And they're learning to chart their cycles, and they're learning to realize, okay, look, this part of my cycle is irregular. I should check with the doctor. Maybe there's a thyroid problem. So if you're charting your cycle, you actually have your reproductive health chart in your hands. I had known of one couple that converted, stopped contracepting, used NFP. And while they were looking at their charts, they realized something's off there, the husband said. I don't think it looks like it should. And they went to the doctor, and he said, yeah, I think something's off with your thyroid. The woman went to a thyroid specialist. Turned out she had a cancerous tumor on her thyroid. They operated the next day and saved the woman's life. But all of that would have been covered up had they been contracepting. And so using fertility awareness methods is not simply a tool to postpone or delay pregnancy. It's very good health-wise for a woman to be doing that. It's also great for couples to use if they want to plan pregnancy, because they're going to be able to pinpoint the time of ovulation in case they want to really heighten their chances of being able to conceive. Now, in terms of the morality of contraception versus natural family planning, a couple considerations. One, and for an act to be good, we need both the means and the motive to be good. In other words, my motive to use a natural family planning is, if we got pregnant again, the gynecologist said my wife might die from that pregnancy. Okay, wow, we got a really serious reason here to use natural family planning. A couple might say, well, if we got pregnant again, it could kill my wife. Well, then let's just have an abortion. Wait a minute. The motive there is good. We want to take care of my wife's life, but the means is immoral, meaning abortion. Now, when it comes to contraception, you could have someone who had a good motive to use contraception, say the same motive, but is the means ethical? And so with natural family planning, the question is, okay, well, then how is the means of natural family planning? Because you could have someone using NFP for a very selfish motive, and the church would not condone that, of like, hey, we want to have a 6-car garage and 3 jet skis and all that stuff, and kids are just a pain in the neck anyway. Okay, that's a selfish motive. And so even if you're using an ethical means of natural family planning, your motive is not good, and so the act is not good. And so in order for natural family planning to be good, you need both the motive, a just, serious reason to use natural family planning, and then the means. Now, okay, well, now why is it different than contraception? I mean, aren't you basically doing the same thing? First, we need to understand the church is not opposed to planning pregnancies. That's where people get thrown off. They think if you're doing any method of planning pregnancies, you're doing something unethical. No, that's not what the church teaches. The church teaches what we should not be doing is contracepting, meaning engaging in the marital act, in a sense, binging in that, and then purging out any life-giving effects. So we're going to engage in this act, and then we're going to sterilize it through a barrier, a drug, or whatever. With natural family planning, how it's distinct from that, a comparison is sometimes given between dieting and bulimia. So with a person who's dieting and a person who might be bulimic, they both have the same goal. I want to maintain a slim figure. But the person who diets abstains from fatty foods and practices temperance, and as a result, achieves that end. A person who has the eating disorder, perhaps, maybe have the same intention, but their means is to binge on the food and purge out its effects. And so if someone says, well, I still don't get it, NFP, contraception, basically the same thing. Well, then it's like, well, okay, well, then use natural family planning. And be like, well, wait a minute. Well, that's a really big difference. Well, if there's a big difference in the method, it's a sign that there might be a big difference in the morality as well. And so the church will never tell you how many kids to have, you know, but God will. And the question is, are we open to planning our family according to his designs? And the church's teachings is not, well, the only time you can have intercourse is when the woman is fertile. That's never been the church's teaching. And there are seasons every single month of fertility and infertility. And so if the couple is prayerfully discerned together, now is not the right time to put another pregnancy in the family, whether it's psychological, emotional, physical, whatever, they got a really good reason. Well, then we can fall back on natural family planning and continue to pray and discern, because maybe that reason that's present today might not be there a couple months from now. And so we can discern and prayerfully go through that together instead of contracepting, which has a host of other ethical problems, such as the fact that many of those are abortifacient, especially the hormonal ones of the birth control pill. And that's an additional dimension of an ethical problem that is not present in natural family planning. So, Brian, does that help? Do you have a follow-up question? Was that able to seal the deal a little bit on that one?
That helped, especially what you said there at the end. You know, if there's like mental health or alcoholism or just you're so poor, because I thought it was set up to be practiced, but you had to have a good reason, not just, I didn't even realize that just you wanted to space out children was a good enough reason. I guess that's kind of, doesn't God kind of decide that?
Yeah, I think we need to be open to God's plan for our family instead of, you know, what we're doing is when you get on social media, you'll see these new acronyms like DINK, which is double income, no kids. And they're sharing their pictures in Sicily and the Caribbean. And look at just him and I and all our Instagram photos, no kids, double income. I'm like, yeah, I think those Instagram photos are going to give you a lot of company when you're in the nursing home, you know, 30 years from now, and you didn't have any kids because you just wanted vacation time. That's a punishment in itself. The sin brings its own punishments upon us. And so a lot of times we have this selfishness of just like, no, I'm done. I had two. Those are pain in the neck. Why don't you take that to prayer? Because, yeah, I get it. It's tough. I've got 8 kids. You know, it's like owning a restaurant where your customers never leave. I mean, it's a challenge. It's difficult. But I've never met anyone that said, yeah, our first 2 kids were a good decision. But numbers 3, 4, and 5, we kind of went overboard on them. What you hear is people saying, I wish we just had one more. I wish we were just open during that certain season of our marriage, that we were just too busy with everything else that didn't matter as much as the supreme gift of marriage, which is children.
Okay, yeah. But I just thought, you know, when it was first proposed, that you had to have a really good reason in order to practice it. And it just seems to me like today that it really doesn't matter if you basically want to be a two-income, yeah. You know, the DINK, you can do that in a Catholic church, and nobody says anything about you have to have a good moral reason. They're just like, well, you just do natural family planning.
Yeah, I think you make a good point, because a lot of people, you know, when they get married, will just be like, yeah, well, we're using natural family planning right out of the gate. Okay, is there really a good reason for that? And they're like, yeah, we just want to take, you know, 5 years first to really get to know each other better before we introduce kids into the family. It's like, oh, you want to get to know each other better?
Have kids.
You'll get to know each other real good. You know, it's so yeah, you need a good reason. You need a sufficient, just reason to use natural family planning, not just like kids are an inconvenience. Some people will say, well, NFP could be used in a contraceptive way. Technically, no. NFP could be used in a selfish way, and it's that sin of selfishness, you know, that is the reason you should not be using it. But you can't technically contracept with an act that isn't contraceptive, because people say, well, isn't it the same? Okay, well, if NFP is the same as contraception, then at exactly what point does an NFP practicing couple contracept? Are they contracepting by being abstinent? Well, no, they're not actually contracepting. Okay, well, are they contracepting when they engage in the marital act with no barriers or pills? Are they contracepting then? Well, no. Then when is it they're contracepting? It's not a contraceptive act, but it could be misused for the wrong reasons of selfishness. And that's why the church encourages us to be prayerfully open to the gift of life and only use that if you have a serious reason to.
Brian, thanks very much for that conversation. Lots of lines full, so I'm going to keep moving. Jason Everett, our guest, we're talking chastity. Laura is in Phoenix, Arizona, listening on 1310 AM. Glad you're here, Laura. Go ahead with your question for Jason.
Hi, Jason. My question is more of a statistical type of one. My husband and I teach marriage prep in the Diocese of Phoenix. We do God's plan for joyful marriage. And in talk four, where it's about chastity, remaining chaste before marriage, a lot of people have science questions, like where's your basis for this? And currently I've been using Professor Janet Smith, her CD of Why Contraceptive. And it really works because I can say, you know, 70% of kids when they're in sixth grade have sex now, or they do this type of sex. And I've got another article from 2013. But those numbers are all 10 years or older. And with COVID, all of our resources seem to have been depleted with surveys, or the lack of surveys. So I was wondering if you have a resource or a place I can go to get some of these new statistics about how early people are having sex.
We'll have to do that when we come back on the other side. It's a good question. Right back.
Want to get right to the core of Christ's saving message? Want a roadmap for living the life Christ calls you to? It's time to look again at the Beatitudes. In his new book, Heart of the Gospel, How the Beatitudes Show Us God's Plan for Happiness, Father Sebastian Walsh demonstrates compellingly how these eight declarations make up the foundation, the essence, and the final goal of Jesus's teaching. Heart of the Gospel illuminates the scriptural passages from which we get the Beatitudes, explains the significance of their wording, their order, and their timing in Jesus's ministry. And it draws out edifying parallels and connections with salvation history and the lives of the saints. Most importantly, Father Walsh offers wise counsel from his own work as a priest and teacher to help you live the Beatitudes in your own life. Order your copy of Heart of the Gospel today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity. In the early church was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Jason Evert is our guest. You can find his work and all the wonderful stuff he does, and tons of stuff available at chastity.com, chastity.com. If you have questions about living a chaste life, maybe that's posing a particular difficulty to you and you would like some help, you're very welcome to call 888-318-7884. Maybe you're a parent or a teacher who'd like some help in that, in doing your parenting or teaching in this area, 888-318-7884. With that in mind, Laura in Phoenix is on the line asking about where you get the statistics that you use. Laura, I kind of had to cut you off, but I think we got the bulk of your question. Did we get everything you wanted to ask, Jason?
Yeah. So places where I'd recommend going, we have a website, chastity.com, tons of statistics there. And specifically, we have a page full of the statistics with hyperlinks to the different journals where the sources are found, the primary sources. And you could go to chastity.com/seminars/statistics, and that'll land you right on the page. So chastity.com/seminars/statistics. And a couple of the ones you're going to want to check out there that we look at frequently. One, there's a journal that comes out called Mortality and Morbidity Weekly. It's very inspirational reading if you ever need it, but they've got a lot of good statistics in there. And then also, and most importantly, I would recommend the Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance Survey. Now, this is called the YRBS. And so just hop on Google. Google, type in CDC for the Centers for Disease Control, then YRBS. The most recent report they've done was 2021. It comes out on a biannual basis. And that'll give you all youth-related risk behaviors of initiation of sexual activity, whether or not they're having enough vegetables and wearing a bicycle helmet and they're vaping and growing up in violent households. It'll have tons of sociological data, but it shows the sexual behavior as to when they're becoming sexual active. And it'll actually very interestingly show that the sexual activity rates of high school students has been on the decline for 30 plus years straight. 1991, they started charting it, and they've just showed a continual steady decline. We're back in the early 1990s, the majority of high school students were not virgins. And now, by a good significant margin, the majority of high school students are virgin. I think it's about 38% right now are currently or have ever had sex. And so the vast majority of high school students are abstinent. And what's interesting, about 2 out of 3 students who have had sexual activity admit they wish they waited longer. And so there's lots of really helpful information that you're going to be able to find at chastity.com/seminars/statistics. But you can go directly to some of these links by just Googling CDC and YRBS 2021, and that'll bring up the latest numbers for you.
Laura?
Perfect. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah,
and
well,
I appreciate your ministry.
Well, keep up the great work yourself.
Thank you.
Thanks, Laura. Thanks very, very much. The number here is 888-318-7884. Jason Evert is our guest. Before I go back to the phones, I forgot to read the ad. So let me just tell you, summertime book sale right now, $10 for some of our biggest sellers and for the new books out at Catholic Answers, 25 different books on sale at shop.catholic.com. Head over there. You don't need a promo code. Just spend 10 bucks. You get a good summer read over at shop.catholic.com. And now we go to Joseph. Joseph, thank you very much for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Jason Evert.
Yes, I had a quick question. If somebody is experiencing same-sex attractions and finds a person of the opposite sex that they're attracted to, should they still pursue marriage?
With that person? Or you're saying with a member of the other sex? No, the church would not teach that.
With a member of the opposite sex.
With a member of the... So you're saying, should they pursue marriage? Like, let's say you have a man attracted to another man. Are you asking if he should pursue marriage with a woman or with that man?
No, with a woman. If he finds a woman that he's attracted to, should he pursue marriage with that woman?
Okay, even though he also experiences attractions towards men?
Correct.
Okay. Well, I think the most important thing would be full and open disclosure in terms of the future potential spouse, of letting them know that sometimes I experience these attractions, sometimes I experience those attractions, because she has a right to know right from the outset what's going on with this individual. Because if this is a very deep-seated same-sex attraction inclination toward other men, it could perhaps be an impediment towards that marriage in terms of, I'm going to marry you, but I'm actually more attracted to men of my, you know, other men. And that could create perhaps an impediment to making a full gift of himself towards her. Now, we have to take this in context, though, that for the rest of your life, you and I, as well as everybody listening, is going to experience a broad range of millions of different sexual attractions until the day we die. The vast majority of those would not be ethical to act upon, but they're still going to come. They're going to pass in front of racist faces. Some are going to last. Some are going to be stronger than others. Some are going to exercise our will, but they're still not going to go away. They're still kind of knocking at the door. That's where we have to exercise our intellect and our will and say, yes, that's a strong temptation, but I'm not going to do that. Instead, I know this is the better way and this is the direction I'm going to go. And so experiencing a passing attraction towards a member of the same sex, I would say, is not going to necessarily preclude somebody from entering into a heterosexual valid marriage with a woman. But if this is something deep-seated that's not going away, I would recommend that person perhaps talk to a good priest, talk to perhaps a good counselor of like, hey, what's going on here? And sometimes I just did a podcast recently with an evangelical pastor named Jay Stringer, and he's talking about pornographic addictions, unwanted sexual behaviors and desires. And his perspective is that we're going about it all wrong when it comes to helping people through these things. He said in his perspective, a lot of Christian ministry is teaching like your desires are the problem. You kind of got to white knuckle it and just forget about it. He said, I actually think that a person's unwanted sexual desires, temptations, and even unwanted sexual behavior is often a roadmap to that person's healing, because it's often crying out for a legitimate unmet need. And if we can listen with compassion to where that ache might be coming from, sometimes it could be rooted in a trauma that's unresolved. Sometimes it could be a family dynamic, an issue with the father. But sometimes if you can go to the root of that with some counseling and love and therapy and prayer, sometimes it can diffuse the intensity of that attraction where no longer is the obstacle that it had been in that person's life. And so you got to qualify a lot of things there saying, you know, so, but again, to summarize, I don't think that having a passing attraction towards a member of the same sex could mean you could never have a valid marriage with a member of the opposite sex, but it should be determined on a case-by-case basis, preferably with a spiritual director. Hey, Father, you know, this is what's been going on. Do you think it would be fair for me to pursue a relationship with a woman while this is still going on in my life? Or should I maybe look into this in terms of counseling and whatnot? And maybe it would lighten up to the point where I feel like a little bit more free to enter into a relationship with a woman that could lead to a sacramental marriage. So hope that helps out a little bit.
If I may just add, we recently had the great good fortune of doing an interview with Andrew Comiskey from Desert Stream Ministries. I don't know if you know, you do know of him?
Yeah, he's doing good work.
And I'd love it if you just go to Catholic.com and look up Andrew Comiskey and you'll find that. But you could also go to desertstream.org. They do wonderful work in this regard. It's very realistic. You know, in much the way what you just said seems very realistic to me, Jason, that there is healing, there is help, there is a kind of the kind of modern way of thinking in very black and white terms about I am this or I am that, I have this identity or that, is really nonsense. And people find all kinds of help and move forward. And I think you really enjoy Andrew's story, Joseph. So I'll just suggest that to you, desertstream.org. Joseph, thank you very, very much for the call. That brings us to the break. We'll take a quick break. Our guest is Jason Everett. If you have a question about living a chaste life, if you have a question about helping others to do so, maybe your kids, maybe the kids that you teach at school, maybe you do a ministry like our caller earlier did, any question at all in the realm of chastity is welcome. 888-318-7884.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Church Pop takes a fresh and fun look at the news shaping our world, featuring engaging, inspiring, and informative Catholic social media content. Find it on Snapchat, Instagram, and on the web at churchpop.com. And you can get Church Pop emailed directly to your inbox. Visit EWTN.com and click subscribe. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I knew it was going to be a good Monday show. I knew this was going to be a good Monday show. And it's not just because Jason Everett here, but it's mostly because Jason Everett is here. And you're very welcome to call 888-318-7884. If you have a question about living chastely or helping others to do so, 888-318-7884. And as you can hear from Jason, he's not averse to a challenge. If this Christian way of understanding human sexuality didn't make sense to you and you want to challenge it, that's welcome as well. 888-318-7884. You just have to be nice to the host. You don't have to be particularly nice to the guest, but you do have to be nice to the host. Jason, have you got anything coming up? Any conferences, trips, talks that you want to tell us about? Or
let's see. Next week, I'm going to Live Action and near Los Angeles. Going to be on Lila Rose's podcast. After that, head into the Rocky Mountains. Going to do a wilderness backpacking retreat with about 25 young adults and two priests. We're doing a 42-mile hike up to a 14,000-foot peak while teaching them all love and responsibility and doing mass and adorations up above the tree line. Cannot wait for that. Hopefully I come back alive. And then after that, we got World Youth Day coming up in Portugal. And then we're leading a pilgrimage after the first semester of Chastity Talks in the fall in January, going over to Italy. So we just opened up registration for that pilgrimage, going to Assisi and Rome for, you know, young people, college students, families, you know, grandparents. Everybody's invited to come for that one.
So when you go to World Youth Day, what do you do there? Do you bring a group there, or do you do talks there, or what do you do?
Yeah, Chris Stefanik and I will be leading a group of 300 teenagers and their families over there. So we'll be doing talks every single night. And then we're doing a talk that's being sponsored by the USCCB over there on St. John Paul II. And we'll be giving that presentation in Fatima.
I got a couple more folks on the line, and I am going to go to you. But we had Don call and couldn't stay on the line. And I do want to ask Don's question. Could you explain why marriage isn't just a social contract? Don wanted to know.
Well, it's not just a social construct or contract.
Construct. I beg your pardon.
Okay.
You knew what I was supposed to say.
I just wanted to make sure you got the question right there. One thing to look at is if marriage is just a social construct, why have we socially constructed it? It's because natural law points us to that. And so the church teaches that if we didn't have divine revelation, to understand God and the things of God, it would take a long time, it would take more effort, and it would be intermingled with a bit of error. And so you see primitive tribes having a spirituality. They're worshiping the volcano god, and they're offering sacrifice to this god. It's like, okay, well, they're onto something here, that there's a powerful being that is in touch with us that we should offer something to. So like you see they're hitting on these true things because it's part of their nature to be a spiritual being. And so that's why we see, even in cultures that haven't received the Judeo-Christianity, that they already had created marriages with their own cultures, that they knew that, okay, when a man and a woman come together, they make a baby. And when a baby's around, it basically says, look, I'm permanent, so you guys should be permanent as well. And so marriage has always been a man-woman thing because, I mean, the very word matrimony means the duty of the mother. That's what the word actually means. And so it's always been tied to family life. And so with divine revelation, we're given through the book of Genesis and the book of Gospels that God created us male and female, and he's the one who instituted marriage as an institution that you should be freely entering into, of a total gift of yourself that requires fidelity and is ordered towards procreation. It's almost like four legs of a chair that we sit on. And if we pull out any one of those parts of the wedding vows and promises, the marriage ceases to be what God created it to be. And so to me, the very fact that some cultures have socially constructed marriage is not evidence that it's not a divine institution. If anything, it's evidence for that, that even before they received the gospel, they perceived in the nature of their being that this is a good upon which our civilizations themselves can be built. And when civilizations veer from that, and sexuality is no longer oriented towards marriage and family life. I mean, the studies have been done on that one, that within a couple of generations, those civilizations completely crumble.
Don, thank you for the question, and especially because it occasioned that answer. That was very, very interesting. Thank you very much, Jason. I'm going to go to North Dakota. Erica's in North Dakota. We're glad you're here with us, Erica. Go ahead with your question for Jason.
Yes. I worry that my son is 19 or 20 now, and I worry that he has some issues with masturbation and possibly porn. Mm-hmm. I know my husband struggled in those areas, not with masturbation, but lust and porn. And he did, my husband was doing like Forged and stuff like that. But okay. He recently passed away. And no,
I'm sorry.
He can't talk to my son about it no more. So I was wondering what I can do to help him, because he don't really want to hear from me about that stuff.
Yeah. Well, Erica, first, I'm very, very sorry for your loss. And I would invite every single listener who's listening to Catholic Answers Live right now to lift your family up in prayer. After this, if you're driving in the car listening, I want you to pray a rosary for Erica's family when you go to Mass this Sunday. If you could already in advance say, God, even if I forget this Sunday, that Mass is going to be offered up for the repose of Erica's husband's soul, for the consolation of their family. And so that way we can right now just harness the intercessory power of thousands of people listening to Catholic Answers Live, all directed 100% towards your family. So that's the first part of my answer. The second part of your answer, your son still needs to hear from you. You as a parent have been given an authority. And obviously it's ideal when it comes from the father. And I'm sure, you know, God willing, your husband, you know, is interceding for your family still. But what I would say is you still need to speak. And so if you could share with him two resources that we've created, we have the Forged book. So if you can pass that on to him, it'd be helpful. And then also we have a book called The Dating Blueprint. And it's a resource that we created for guys to teach them dating etiquette. And so a lot of guys grab the book because they're like, oh, yeah, I want to understand women, because we've surveyed thousands of women of what they wish guys knew about dating. But one of the biggest things we ask the girls is like, if there's one thing that you want a guy to get in order in his life before he dates you, what is it? And the number one reply is quit looking at porn. Don't bring that junk into our relationship. And so when it's coming from the women saying, we really need you to overcome this, because you can't ask a girl to commit to you if you're not even prepared to be faithful to her. You just can't do it. And so if it's just like an anti-porn book, there might be some resistance there, but if it's wrapped up in courtship of how to find the love that you were created to give and receive, then it lands a little bit more softly. It's like, okay, I want that, but now I understand that if I want what I truly desire, then I need to let go of these empty counterfeit desires. And so the Dating Blueprint book might be helpful. If he's still living at home, then I think it's an incumbent upon you to make sure you've got internet safety as much as you can. There's a router called Griffin that's really good to install that'll be able to allow you to see all the websites, and it can block the websites. You can even install something called Homebound with the Griffin router. So Griffin is Griphon. And then Homebound is an app you can put on their phone so that even if they switch from Wi-Fi over to cellular, it still sends their web traffic back through the router. So you're capturing the data of all the websites they're visiting. Now, obviously he's 19 and he's out on his own, living independently, paying his own cell phone bill. It can be a little bit harder to set that kind of stuff up, but the accountability piece is huge that these types of technologies offer the family. But yeah, don't hold back. Keep speaking to him. And lastly, offer up your suffering right now for him. You've been given a tremendous cross right now. In a very real sense, you're resembling the Holy Family in the sense that Our Lady was a single mother for quite some time. All we know is that Jesus was with the Holy Family, you know, the age of 12 or whatever, or Joseph was with the Holy Family. But then by the time Jesus begins his public ministry at the age of 30, Joseph's gone. And so at that point, somewhere in that window, St. Joseph passed away. And Our Lady was a single mother raising Jesus on her own. And so she knows what it's like to have that sorrowful heart. But if you can take that suffering that you're going through and offer up it as a prayer, that every time that the suffering, the tears come, say, Lord, I don't know why this is happening to our family. This is obviously not the plan that I had in mind, but God, I take this suffering and I offer it up as a prayer, like incense, for the conversion of my son, for the repose of the soul of my husband, for the future vocation of my son, so that none of that suffering will go to waste. So offer up that suffering, be assured of our prayers as well. And then the resources I mentioned, you could find at chastity.com.
Thank you.
Thank you, Erica.
You're welcome, Erica.
God bless you. Now, you know, I have to say, people my age, we get nervous when you give the technological descriptions. Is it difficult or is it relatively easy to do those technological things that you described?
Well, honestly, it's a pain in the neck.
Okay.
Because the
okay.
teenagers are always like three steps ahead of us. Right?
Three.
It's like, okay, I got this thing locked down. And they're like, oh, well, I'm going to go hack into the Pentagon's website for fun. That, you know,
right.
It's like they've got so much disposable time to figure workarounds to these kinds of things. And so, but you got to be vigilant. You got to stay in the game. And the router is only one piece. There's other apps like Canopy. If you've got like a different types of smartphones, we'll have features where you can set curfews on the kids' phones. Covenant Eyes is a good resource. But the most important thing is the communication between parent and child. It's not a set it and forget it kind of thing. Well, I just need to do technology instead of parenthood. It's like, no, use the tools that are available, but let's get these conversations going. And yeah, it's going to be a little bit awkward, but it's not about having the talk. It's about creating a relationship where you can have a lifetime of these conversations, God willing.
I want to ask you still on the other side as well, because lots of young men like Erica's son, when they speak to us, they want to be free of pornography. Mm-hmm. They want to be free yeah. of this kind of, I don't know if addiction is the right word, but certainly yeah. compulsion.
Yeah.
So if it were not her who called, but it was him who called, and he said, yeah. Jason, help me. I'm 20 years old. I don't want this in my life, but I'm really having trouble breaking free.
Yeah. Yeah. We had so many guys coming to us like that. And even girls, this is not just a guy issue. For the girls, we wrote a book, Kelsey Skoke wrote, called Uncompromising Purity. It's not just a guy problem, where she really dives into feminine strategies of battling these temptations. But for the guys, I got with Matt Fradd and I'm like, dude, all these guys come to me and say, look, I don't need to be morally convinced that porn is bad. I'm already on board there,
right?
But I'm good for like 2 weeks and then I mess it up, and then I'm good for a month and then I get bored or lonely or angry or stressed out or tired and I fall back. And I wrote the book Forged, and it's basically a 33-day spiritual exercise for guys that doesn't just look at the physical stuff and the temptations, but the psychological behind it, the spiritual, the theological. And every day you get a free email video, like day one is me, day two is Matt. Then we got Father Mike Schmitz and Father Jacques Philippe and Sister Miriam James. And every day it's somebody else diving into that day's weapon that's being handed to you to help win this battle. But I think of all the weapons, one of the most important ones is accountability. Don't go lone ranger. Don't go, okay, well, it's me versus the devil. Yeah, that'll go real well. No, talk. Talk to your youth minister. Talk to your pastor. Talk to your parents. Hey, I messed up again. Man, you think if you tell someone you messed up that they think less of you? They think more of you.
Right.
Because you don't act like, oh, I got it all together. It's like, wow, this is an authentic dude. This is a guy who really wants to make progress in the interior life. And, you know, I asked a priest once, hey, when students come to you and you thought they were all good and you found out they made all these dumb mistakes, does it make you look at them differently? Do you think less of them? And he said, no. I look up to them, not down on them, because they care more about what God thinks about them than what I think about them. And that is humility. And it's admirable even from a priest to see that. And so, yeah, have that humility, because pride comes before a fall. Humility is what's needed before we rise up. And so have some humility, find some solid accountability partners, and you can win this. You have to win this. Like, what's the alternative? Do you really want to be like a 37-year-old porn addicted dad who's got to slap his laptop shut when your 5-year-old girl comes to the room one day because she can't see what dad's seeing? That's not an option. And even if we're in that spot, do we want to be there 5 years from now? No, do what's got to be done to find victory in this area so you can be free to love.
That's the thing, though, what you just said there, because this is the other thing, is that we get lots and lots of calls from people who are convinced they really can't overcome it. And I think that that's part of the propaganda out there, is that's not realistic. You're not being realistic. And maybe they just need more stories of other men who say, yeah, you can. You can be free of that.
And maybe what they're trying to do is like cut the leaves off of a weed, and they're not disturbing the root structure underneath this. You know, where is this stuff coming from? You might have tried 5 strategies that didn't work, and trying them 100 more times is probably still not going to work. But that doesn't mean that there's not a 6th or 7th strategy that you haven't tried yet that is going to be the key to your healing. And so the devil, when you're getting close to breaking free, is that's when he's going to want to pour in the discouragement. You've tried this for so many years, and there you are again on that little porn website. You think God loves you. You think God could use you. Your family, you're such a fake. He's just going to double down, because that's who he is. He's the accuser. That's what Satan is. And so, no, as one priest told me once, I heard, he said, yeah, God knows your sins, but he calls you by your name. The devil knows your name, but he calls you by your sins. So don't let the devil call you by your sins. You're more than your weaknesses and your failures. And don't give up and let the spirit of discouragement overcome you. The Holy Spirit knows that you've got what it takes, because by virtue of your baptism, the Holy Trinity dwells in you, and you can win this.
Jason Everett, beautiful. Another great hour. Thank you very much. We always love it when you take the time. Thank you for doing this with us.
Happy to be on. Thank you.
You can find out again, you can find what Jason does over at chastity.com. Do visit. And maybe you are that person that needs to be morally convinced. You'll find materials there that will help you be morally convinced as well. But if you are like the rest of us, just constantly in need of help and encouragement, chastity.com, a wonderful place to go and find that. That does it for us today. Tomorrow, 2 hours of open forum. Who's coming? Is it Tim Staples tomorrow? I think we got Tim tomorrow. Say it again. Oh, we got flannel panel tomorrow. I forgot. Tomorrow's the big flannel panel day. Holy smokes. Don't miss that. The news of the world from a Catholic perspective. Tomorrow, flannel panel, Catholic Answers Live. See you then. God willing.